Good morning. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Wednesday, August 29th, 2018, and I'm Tina Bachmeyer, your host this morning, and I'm joined in the studio with Evie Kinnear, who is one of the co-founders and co-director of Fortress of the Bear. Good morning, Evie.
Good morning.
So there's some new visitors, some new residents of Fortress of the Bears. Can you tell us a little bit about who you have living with you now?
Well, we've just welcomed on Saturday the Seward sisters. They're two female brown bear cubs, coastal brown bears, and they were orphaned probably 3 or 4 weeks before we received them up in Seward after their mother had been caught in a chicken coop and was killed. They ran around the town of Seward for a while until we finally got to get them down here.
And what does that process look like? How do you find out about that they were
well,
orphaned?
Well, somebody in Seward contacted us. Actually, a couple different people contacted us through Facebook and said there were a couple orphan cubs. Could we help? We get those calls frequently, and often we can't help them. But coincidentally, we had just filed for an extension on our permit with Fish and Game, and we're waiting for that permit to go through. So I thought we might be able to make this particular thing work. I also had maintained a relationship with the Shelly McDowell, who is the animal control officer up in Seward, and they don't have a Fish and Game place there. Their Fish and Game works out of Soldotna. And so she was my eyes on the ground. And what happened was we had heard that the troopers were going to destroy the cubs. And so I knew that I was trying to work in the background with Fish and Game and with various different places. And I said, if you can not let fish troopers know where they are for a while till we can get this sorted out, that'd be great. So the Seward community really dug in and decided to go silent on that. And for about a week and a half, nobody was reporting where they were. But I was getting photos from different people that was, you know, being sent that they were there. And then I spoke to Fish and Game in Soldotna. His name escapes me for a second. And he said he was going to be getting them and bringing them to the Alaska Zoo. And so I told him that we knew where they were. And so he went the following Monday and was able to dart them and bring them to the zoo. Luckily, again, because of our relationships with different entities in Alaska, we, Shannon Jensen, who's the curator up at the Alaska Zoo, I'd worked with her before, and so she asked if she could spay them while they were there, and we thought that was a better idea. Their facilities are much more sophisticated than ours, and and it turned out also, another part of this is that Michelle Oakley from the Yukon Vet decided to take her film crew, and she did one of the spays and then came down and took the cubs to the airport and then came down here and followed through with that, watching the cubs be released at our place.
And how does transporting two cubs look like? How do they get to Sitka?
Well, luckily, Alaska Airlines really pitched in. That was just amazing. And so they already had, Alaska Zoo had crates that were perfect sizes. Mm-hmm. And so she had to bring them in the wee hours, uncivilized hours of the morning, and to the airport. And Alaska loaded them. They flew in cargo and were down here by 11 o'clock the next day in the morning. So we were beyond excited, and it was all filmed. So that'll be on, I think, sometime in the spring or something. But yeah, so people will be able to watch.
And what are their names?
So we have Nuka, who's the larger one. She's the big sister, and Nikiski, who's the smaller sister. We chose names from the Seward area in order to honor. Well, we actually chose those names, and then some other names came in, and we had a contest. Well, you know, a vote. It wasn't really a contest. And so those are the names. And Nuke is very feisty and very sweet and low-key. And Nikiski's very, she's a little scared right now of everything. And she has seen Toby, our large female bear, through the gates. And she calls out to her, and it's a very plaintive call. And we're hoping that one day they'll get to be introduced, and hopefully in the near future, and they'll be able to bond a relationship. But Toby does not know what all that noise is about.
And how old do you think about a range of how old do you think they are?
Well, their cubs are typically born in January, so we always figure from that date. So they're about 8 months old, and Nuka's weighs, well, I don't know now that we've been feeding her, but she when she got here, she's was over 60 pounds and about 64 pounds, and Nikiski was 53. Yeah, and so they're still healing a little bit from their spay. They're being well fed. They're being talked to, and training has already begun. They're very responsive to training and playful. They're starting to get more playful. Every day is a better day, and we see Nikiski coming into her own a little bit more, and Nuka's just taking ownership of the place, so...
And what does introducing them to meet the other bears as well as the space, like what does that look like?
Well, we've done it before with our, because we had two separate brown bear populations. So we let them come nose to nose for a long time until we feel, and then of course we want these cubs to get a little bit bigger in size. So we're going to allow them in the habitat and take the other ones and put them on one side. So then the bigger bears will come in after they've been in there and they'll smell them. And so it's just a long, slow, making sure that everybody's good, taking it in, as easy as we can to make sure that they stay safe.
And what kind of things, you said that you've been feeding them, what kind of things do they get fed?
Well, again, we're so lucky because we get great donations from the local markets, and now the salmons come in. But they get, Les goes out pretty much every morning and picks huckleberries so they can get, you know, pick and brings the branches in. And then they have oatmeal and apples and some milk and a little bit of seafood, not too much yet, lots of produce. They love corn. They're doing really well, and lots of treats, you know, to encourage them during training.
And you guys have just built a whole new section within the habitat. And will they get to explore that area?
Well, the new black bear habitat probably will just remain a black bear habitat. We don't know, we're still deciding how we're going to allow them into this habitat, whether we're going to split the habitat or add new space to it. We're just still, doing right now, we're concentrating on our new visitor center and trying to raise funds for that. And, that will include, a huge expansion of the viewing area, and I'll also add restrooms as well as, event area.
And so this seems like you've been doing so much work and you've been growing a lot. How did all of this start? You said you're a founder. So what started this whole project?
Well, I met Les and immediately fell in love, and I'd moved up to Sitka, and he was a master guide taking people out and on hunts. And I said, he was thinking of leaving because the politics and the dynamics were changing. And I said, is there anything to get you to stay in Sitka? And he said, well, I've had this project in the back of my mind. He was tired of watching cubs be shot just because their mothers had died. And so he took me out to the pulp mill, which is a very rough space at that time. It's a lot better now. And he explained what he wanted to do, and I got really excited, and I thought, this is a win-win. And I said, when do we start? And we dug in, and it took 5 years to get our bear permit, which hadn't been issued in the state for probably 19 years. Mm. And then about 7 days later, we got our first bear, which was Killsnoo.
And so you are open during the summer for tourists. Are you open all year as well?
Well, we usually are open a little bit more in the winter because we're doing the build. We're going to close around the 1st of October, and then we will reopen as soon as the build is finished. I have no idea how, you know, but it'll definitely will be open for the tourist season. But other than that, after this, we will try to have more during the winter events, although the bears do hibernate. So from about November through March, there's nothing really to be seen.
Well, thank you so much for being with me this
morning.
Oh,
it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.